The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And Jesus said to them, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let man not separate." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My friends, we gather here today in the midst of our worship as a community of God to celebrate and proclaim God's blessing upon the marriage of Ronnie and Dina. And in doing so, we bring to our own awareness the work of God in this marriage, in all marriages, and in the great community of the church. We also call ourselves and one another to repentance for the ways in which we have ignored, denied, and rebelled against the work of God in the church, in our support for the marriages around us, and in our own marriages and other relationships. We hear from the Word of God today in our lessons the way that the image of God, the work of Christ, and the life of the church are reflected and revealed in Christian marriage. In Genesis, we hear that God creates humanity as his own image to be stewards of all creation, to represent him to his own creation, to be his very image so that creation knows God through us. He takes and he forms the first human out of the very elements of creation. He breathes the Spirit of God into that form of mankind, and it becomes a living creature. Genesis then teaches us about the nature of the triune God. This Adam, this first human, breathed into life by the breath of God, formed by the hands of God, is one. Just like God, he is one. But he is incomplete in the image of God, because God is indeed one, but is also the community of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So God proclaims, it is not good. This image is not complete when it is alone. So God takes and he causes a deep sleep to come upon this first human. And out of this first human, he pulls a portion of that creation, the rib of that first human, creates woman. And so now we have man and woman, the image of God in two, the Spirit of God in three. And so as man and woman and spirit are united again as one, we have the image of the great three in one of the triune God. Man does not image God alone. Woman does not image God alone, but together, bound by the Spirit of God, that is the image of God for all creation. We celebrate that in marriage. Paul's letter to the church of the Ephesians describes to us how the work of Christ is revealed in the fullness of marriage. He says, "Be submitted to one another. Be submitted to one another as Christ was submitted to the work of God." He calls us to that mutual submission that is grounded and rooted and only possible in love. As a culture, we've confused and abused and weaponized this word submission, and it has caused much hurt. I hope that in the next few minutes, I'm able to start us to reclaim what that means. Because we don't submit to one another. We submit to Christ at work in one another. Paul tells us, submit yourselves to one another, wives to your own husbands, just as if to the Lord. For Jesus is the head of the church. He says, we're going to reflect this in the church, the work of Christ in the church. And Jesus submitted his will to God. The best picture I have of this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, looking ahead to his suffering and death, prays with all his might. Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, your will, not mine, be done. Let's look at that model for just a moment. There's not a denial of feeling, a denial of desire. Father, if it is possible, let this pass from me. A fullness of communication, a fullness of desire. But if not, your will, not mine, be done. What allows Jesus to say that? To say, not your will, but mine be done. It's because he trusts the will of the Father. He trusts the love of the Father. He gives himself in trust that the one he is giving himself to is trustworthy. We're called the same way in marriage. Submit as to one who is trustworthy. Submit as to Christ, who is trustworthy. And we're called to love. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. I think I'd rather just stick with submitting than be called to that kind of love. The kind of love that suffers and dies for the sake of another. The kind of love that gives itself that the other may have life. This is the work of love. This is the work of being trustworthy to receive the submission of the other. I think that this passage in Ephesians is culturally gendered and not creationally gendered. I think we are all called to submit to our spouse and to love our spouse. We are called into mutual submission as a church and to mutual love as a church. This is the work of Christ. Christ without submission to the will of the Father is incomplete. Christ without love for the world that gives himself up is incomplete. A marriage bond without love and submission that is mutual is incomplete. And yet, Paul says, the two become one flesh. They image God. And this is a great mystery. But I say to you, this is the mystery of the church. It is a great mystery. The way that the church comes together for many to be one. To be in mutual submission and to be in love one with another. It's interesting that the marriage bond images the church, and the church images the marriage bond between Christ, his body, and his bride as one. And we have all been hurt by churches. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. We have all been hurt by churches. If you haven't, you will be. Most of us have been hurt by our spouses. And if you haven't, you probably will be. Some of us have been severely damaged as that image of God that is intended between man and woman is broken by the image of this world. And it ends in hurt and pain and divorce. Some of us have been hurt as our desire for that bond has been incomplete and unanswered. Either in our own marriages or in our singleness. And yet, the love of Christ calls the church and the marriage to be fully redemptive and healing. This is the beauty of the church. We come together, male and female, of all nations, cultures, and tongues, of all socioeconomic classes, of all ages and abilities. And we're joined as one body in the power of the Holy Spirit to image the God that is the great three in one. The many and the one, by the power of the Holy Spirit, become a single body. No longer body and bride, but body and bride joined together as the church of Jesus Christ, sent into the world on a mission of redemption and healing. We get at this table to anticipate what that healing will fully be like, as we are a sign and a foretaste and an instrument of the kingdom of God, as we participate in the great wedding feast of the Lamb at this table. So I invite you to bring with you your hurts, your disappointments, your incompleteness in your marriages, in your relationships, in your life, to this table, and be made whole, to be made one with Christ as he is one in us. So Ronnie and Dina, God is already at work in your marriage. He is revealing his image and his work and his church in your relationship. He's shaping your relationship as you walk in his image, as you walk in his work, and as you walk with his church, these people gathered. Your task today is to recognize and proclaim that. We're going to ask you to make promises in the context of this community that you will, as far as you are able, image God in your marriage. Image the work of Christ in your marriage, in your home, and in your relationships, bringing redemption and healing to those around you. And image God to this church, showing what it is to no longer be two but one in your relationship and in your relationship with these people. We're also going to ask all of you gathered here today to be a part of that. To say, yes, we see that in Ronnie and Dina, and when we don't, we're going to tell them. And we're going to support them and love them into the fullness that God has called them. And we're going to welcome them into our lives so that when they don't see God imaged in us, they're going to tell us. That's the way of the church. That's the way of life in Christ. To direct our attention through the relationships we have, especially that most intimate of relationships between man and woman who have become one flesh, have been joined by the Spirit of God into the image of God, to notice the way that God has called us together to be his image in the world, an image of love and redemption, an image of oneness and union, of mutual submission and mutual love into a world that desperately needs it, to show his work of sacrifice and obedience, to redeem and to cleanse and to present himself, his bride, his body, unblemished and without stain. And then to be sent out as the church, a church that lives that image, a church that lives that mission, a church that no longer ignores or denies or rebels against God's love and God's will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.